Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. We want to take just a moment and invite you, if you are in the listening area, we would love for you to come by and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have our Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning preaching service is at 11. And there's all kinds of information on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. We also have radio archives on there. If you have missed a broadcast and you would like to go back, say, you know, what was I talking about last week, you can go on there and listen on the radio. I want to make just a quick announcement. I've got several announcements that are things upcoming or going on. I try not to bombard you with things, but this is something, and I want to mention it now because I know how when school starts, you start thinking about school getting out, summer coming, vacation Bible schools, and before you know it, your summer has filled up. But there's a great thing going on, and we are involved in it, but it is the Tri-City Gospel Music Camp. And it is located at the Tri-City Baptist Campground in Kingsport, Tennessee. And there's 2 weeks of music camp, July 17th through the 21st, and then the next week, July 24th through the 28th. But the purpose of this camp is to teach shape, note, singing, and all things to do with music. I mean, they have voice lessons, they have piano lessons, they have all kinds of other things going on, but it's a great thing. We had a music camp at our church last Saturday, and it was just a thrill to see the young people get together, and then there was adults as well. But to learn to sing in the shape note style, that's do, re, mi's, and that is the four parts. You've got the soprano, the alto, the tenor, and the bass. And when you get a choir that can really sing, and I mean people sing their parts, it is a beautiful thing. Far, far, far greater blessing than just singing off of a screen and everybody's on the same tone and key, it's just, you know, it's like anything else. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And so it's a great thing. And I want maybe the parents, or if there's any pastors or churches interested in this, you can get in touch with me. I can get you in touch with all the details that you would want to know about it. So I wanted to mention that. Good to have Noah today. He's helping us again, and always a great blessing. And he always welcomes our listeners. We're going to ask him to come along and do that at this time.
I will. And we do want to say welcome to all those listening in, those who are listening right here on AM 1450, WATA, and 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota, and those on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and Noah's a great help to me. I really appreciate all he does to help us out on the different radio broadcasts, and so I wanted to mention that. But we are looking again this week at the subject of education. This is the Blessings of Liberty. We generally deal, I mean, I have for 5 or 6 years now, in the colonial time period in America, when our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, a lot of great things, foundational things in that time period in our country. And we got to just thinking about the subject of education, the history of education, what the Bible says about it, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that train up, it literally means to discipline. And the disciplines of instruction, teaching them, raising them in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord, a right way, a good way. And so the Bible has a great deal to say about that. Christians have always been interested in the education of their children, and especially in learning how to read, because God has given us His Word, and what good is it if you cannot read it? And so Christians down through the centuries have been interested and still are today, not only in reading, but that every people group would be able to have the Word of God in their own language, that they might read it, that they might understand it in their native tongue. And so there's still translation work going on today, and there's still a lot of languages in the world where people do not have their own Bible. So that is part of it. That is the foundational part of education. That's the first thing you learn to do when you go to school. You learn how to read. But what I want to do, I really want to pick up where I left off on last week. And we're talking about all the Christian colleges in America. They're being established. We made this statement. I got it from a history book, but it said Christian people pioneered the educational system in America. And last week we talked about the huge growth of the university, the colleges in America. I listed 30. I don't even think I got through the whole list. I just didn't have time to go through it all. But there were 30 Baptist schools from 1819 to 1881. That's really a short time period, 60 years of 30 colleges being established in our country. Some of them are still around. Some of them, a lot of them, their names have changed, their locations have changed. But some of them you would be familiar with: Brown University, Madison, Columbian, Georgetown, Wake Forest, Baylor, Mississippi, Furman. All these were established as Baptist colleges or Baptist universities. Now that's just the Baptist schools, not to mention the other Protestant schools and denominations, and then even Catholic schools. They're going to teach the Ten Commandments, and they're going to talk about the Lord, and they're going to have some things in there and a Christian influence. You think about colleges like Duke, and that was founded by the Methodists and the Quakers in 1838, originally in Trinity, North Carolina. And so you have a lot of these schools. They were established by churches, by Christian people. Some of you may have watched the NCAA championship game, Gonzaga. A lot of people, they were saying, where is that? I never heard of that school before. Who is that? I'd never heard of it before. And I looked it up, a little bit of history on it. It was established as a private Roman, or it is today, a private Roman Catholic university established by the Jesuits. It's in Spokane, Washington. It was established in 1887. And so you have all these colleges, you have all these universities all throughout our country. So it's not a stretch or an exaggeration to say that Christians pioneered the educational system in America, from the Puritans and their children all the way up to the first university in America. Harvard University was established to train ministers of the gospel. You had everything in between. We talked a great deal a few weeks ago about Noah Webster, the father of American scholarship and education. He was a very dedicated Christian individual, and he's well known for his blueback speller for the Webster's Dictionary. They said that Noah Webster educated five generations of Americans. His books were handed down from generation to generation, and never has there been a textbook that has been printed in proportion to the population of the people as long as Webster's blueback speller. And so we have a great, great influence on the front end and all the way up through the 1700s, through the 1800s, through the early 1900s, heavy influence of Bible, Christianity, morality, Ten Commandments. Samuel Blumenfield, I want to read something that he said. He is called sometimes, and he was a American educator and author. He passed away in 2015, but he is called the godfather of the phonics movement. And I talked a few weeks ago how that in the 1800s, one of the things they changed was a learning to read by phonics to a look-say. And then now it's coming back around. people see the look say is not the best way to learn how to read. It's actually confusing and learning to read by phonics. Well, he's called the godfather of the phonics movement. He's called the godfather of the homeschool movement. He's called the godfather of the private school movement in America. And the influential part of his work would have been in the 70s and 80s, 1970s, 1980s. But Samuel Blumenfeld said this about our history of education in America. He said, despite the existence of slavery in the South, the first 50 years of the United States was as close to a libertarian society as has ever existed. For education, it meant complete freedom and diversity. Now, there's a lot of talk today about freedom and especially about diversity, but you can only be diverse if they say you can. If you want to be something other than what they say, then, you know, that's not welcome. And a lot of times that is just basically if you are a Christian, if you believe the Bible, everything else is accepted. But you start trying to bring that in or talk about that or students write about that or things that students won't do and they're ostracized. But once upon a time, there was complete freedom and diversity. He said there were no accrediting agencies, no regulatory boards, no state textbook selection committees, no teacher certification requirements. Parents had the freedom to choose whatever kind of school or education they wanted for their children. Home tutoring was common, and there were private schools of every sort and size. Church schools, academies for college preparation, seminaries, dame's schools for primary education, charity schools for the poor, tutors, and common schools. Now, shortly after that time period, he's talking about 1776 and 50 years after that. But shortly after that, the first public primary schools began, and they began in Boston, Massachusetts. Of course, still then, the Puritans had a great sway, and they had their own public schools. Well, this began in 1818. They were started by the same group that had led Harvard from being an orthodox or having an orthodox Christian belief and outlook on the world to an unorthodox, very liberal belief system. In the beginning, Harvard, although it was, and you know, I'm a Baptist, so I look at things from that point of view, but as far as teaching salvation, the same way that I would say that I believe that the Bible teaches, that they were pretty on. The only thing the Baptists couldn't go along with was the state church and infant baptism. But many out of Harvard preached salvation by grace through faith, just like the Bible says. And in the beginning, Harvard was of a Calvinist theology. Now, we don't agree with all the tenets of Calvinism, but we do agree with some things. We agree in the depravity of man. What we mean by that, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sure believe in that. We also believe that man needs to be saved, that man needs to be justified before God. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the New England Primer, for example, when they gave examples of the ABCs and how to learn the ABCs, A says this, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. They believed that we'd all sinned, that man was a fallen creation of God. That was their first belief. But the Unitarians took over Harvard. Now, the Unitarians did not believe that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Unitarians believe that, you know, everybody's pretty much going to go to heaven. They're not really a fallen creature, but man's not so bad. You know, he's not perfect, but he's not really a sinner. And all man needs, now this is from the Unitarian point of view, and it influenced the way they educate. From their viewpoint, man just needs to be, he doesn't need to be saved, he just needs to be cleaned up. He just needs a little polishing up, smoothing up around the edges. He needs to, his ignorance needs to be eliminated. Poverty needs to be eliminated. Social injustice needs to be eliminated. And, you know, that sounds pretty familiar today. That's the mindset of the progressive education movement. It's gone from being God-centered, that we've all sinned, that we need a Savior, to being man-centered, we're not so bad, we just need to clean up a little bit. We just need to remove our prejudices and remove our ignorance. And, you know, we need to, it's just a different mindset. And so, at first, when the public school systems in Boston were introduced, the Protestant people, they were leery. They were suspect. You know, is this really going to be a good thing for our children? One of their leaders, Bishop Hughes, he said this in 1849 about the public school system of that day. He said, to make an infidel, what is necessary to do? Cage him up in a room, give him a secular education from the age of 5 years to 21, and I ask you what will come out if not an infidel. They, talking about the public school proponents, say their education is not sectarianism, but it is. And of what kind? The sectarianism of infidelity in its every feature. And right here is where we have the answer to the question, what happened to our schools? And we gave last week, we gave all this information about all these Christian universities. We talked about Wake Forest and gave an example by George Washington Paschal. He was a historian at Wake Forest and wrote in the 1940s, and he said that Wake Forest was a Christian college and based on the Baptist denomination, and its purpose was to spread the principles of the New Testament into all the world and the gospel, and that was the purpose of that school, was to train and to give their students the education to be able to do that. And that's just one example. But there was all these colleges, Christian colleges, founded to train ministers, all these Christian families, all these churches. Now, these colleges, and especially these Baptist colleges, they were established by vote many times of churches, associations of churches that came together and said, we need something for our people. And the Methodists and the Quakers did the same thing, and the Presbyterians did the same thing. And, you know, we're not being divisive in just talking about the Baptists, but I just know more about them than the others. But all of these different Christian churches, all these people, all these families, all these godly mamas and daddies sending their children off to school, expecting for them to get a Christian education. But today, you look, and many of these churches have no affiliation whatsoever with the church or the group of Christians that founded them. And many of these schools are teaching things absolutely contrary to the principles that they were founded upon. So what happened to our schools? And here's the answer to that. It really doesn't matter how many Christians you have in the system. It doesn't matter how many Sunday school teachers that are also public school teachers. It doesn't matter if your principals are members of the Gideons. It doesn't matter if your teachers are, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many Christian homes are represented. It doesn't matter how many Christian children are actually going to those schools, or how many of those teachers would actually say that they were Christians. It doesn't matter how many Christians you have in the system if you educate the children by worldly means, you're going to get a worldly result. And that is the answer to what happened to all these schools. And we talked about in the 1800s, all these things were introduced. Humanism, socialism, psychology, evolution, man-centered, not God-centered anymore. And so you have a lot of Christians still going to school. You have a lot of teachers that love the Lord and they pray for their students. But if you're educating by a worldly means, you are going to get a worldly result. And it is as simple as this. You reap what you sow. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 11 in verse number 3, and we've said this verse many, many times, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, a great example of what happens if you take away the, if you take God's people, you put them in a worldly setting, and you teach them by worldly principles, you're going to get a worldly result. A great example of that would be the children of Israel when they were carried away captive into Babylon, and the Babylonians, they reprogrammed them. They took away the worship of their true God, and they taught them the ways of the Babylonians. Now, I know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they turned out all right, but I'm telling you, they were the exception, not the rule. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down to the king's golden idol, but thousands of others did. And didn't see anything wrong with it. They were carried away. They were acclimated to the Babylonian ways. And they left the old paths of God's word. They left the way that they were raised. Now, the Protestants in Boston in 1849, they came to this conclusion. Now, the Protestants and the public school system had first been introduced there. It wasn't a law yet that you had to go to school, but the public schools had been introduced. And the Protestant people in Boston, they were leery. And they basically said this, well, we're not all for it, but the public school, they need our Christian influence. And if it doesn't work out, we can always separate later. Now that was, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'll read you exactly what they said about it. They said, it is, however, a great evil to withdraw the interest and influence of the religious part of the community. If after a full and faithful experiment, it should at last be seen that fidelity to the religious interest of our children forbids further patronage of the system, we can unite with the evangelical Christians in the establishment of private schools in which full doctrinal religious instruction may be possible. And so what were they saying? They were saying, well, the public school, they need us. They need our light. They need our salt. And if it doesn't work out, we'll just pull out. And we'll make our own schools. That's what they said. Well, that experiment took well over 100 years. Many of you may not even realize this today, but the modern private school, now there's always been private schools, but especially schools out of churches, Christian schools, and homeschooling. And churches with schools, private Christian schools, are really a modern thing. There was a time period in America where a private school or a homeschool child was almost of like seeing a comet in the sky, just a very rare thing. I know when I was growing up in the 70s and in the 80s, I cannot think of one person that was homeschooled. I knew nobody that was homeschooled. Now, it is very, very common. In fact, it is flourished. And Noah could even tell you a little bit about it. I mean, when he was when he was homeschooled, it was all way through school. And but even when we started with him versus the way it is today, there's a lot of homeschoolers. That's what I'm trying to say. There once upon a time, I didn't know anybody. I think there was one Christian school in Watauga County. It was at Bible Way. And I knew one other person that went away to a private Christian school out of state. but it just wasn't very, it just wasn't practiced. Most everybody went to public school, and that was pretty much the only option that you had. But now it's very, very common. Parents have seen, you know, I think I can do better. They're not teaching my child the way I believe they ought to be taught, the way that they ought to be raised. But that experiment where the Protestants in Boston said, well, we'll try it out. Well, guess what? Everybody else tried it out too. And so it took over 100 years for a generation of parents to come along and say, hey, the public schools are failing our children. They took the prayer out. They took the Bible reading out. We need to do something else. It took over 100 years for that experiment. And although many today can say, well, I don't like it. I can homeschool. I don't like it. I can send my child to a private school. You know, a lot of people, they have no choice. They are bound to the public school system. They have no other option. Well, I've even heard that. I've heard that argument in my years of ministry many, many times. I've heard people say, well, we can't take the Christians out of the schools. We can't take our little kids out of the public school. They need the salt. They need the light. They need our influence down there in the public school. That's an argument that is used many, many times. But here's the thing. If you abandon your Christian principles, if you put your children in an environment 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, they spend more time there than they do with mom, dad, guess what? You're not going to get a Christian out of that. You're going to reap what you sow. And the old time preacher, Bishop Hughes, he said, what are you going to get out of that but an infidel? Now, he wasn't being mean and calling somebody an infidel, but they just used that word as an unbeliever. What are you going to get out of that environment? You're going to get an unbeliever. God has never called the Christians to infiltrate. But a lot of Christians today, they've got that mindset. Well, we'll go in among the world. We'll be like the world. We'll acclimate to the world. We'll make our music like the world. We'll make our worship like the world. We'll make our preaching like a talk show host. We will just be as accommodating as we can. God has never called us to do that. God has called the Christian to be separate, not to infiltrate, not to infiltrate, but to separate. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. But what has happened to our schools? You can put all the Christians in that you want, but if you teach them the ways of the world, the things of the world, and that's all they get, then don't be surprised what comes out on the other side. And that's what has happened to our school system in America, from the college down through the public schools all the way down. Well, we see our time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate you listening in. We are thankful that we have the opportunity to do this. We ask that you would just remember, send your prayers. I don't ask people to write us letters or call us or email us or anything like that. But if you know the Lord and you pray, then just say a prayer for us and radio, and boy, we sure would appreciate that. Well, Noah's going to come, and he's going to give our contact information. We hope you have a great day and a great week, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.